Let's talk Boston Bruins hockey. To do that, we turn to Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, what's going on? How are we doing today?
Well, enjoying a beautiful day up here. How is it down your way?
It's very nice. Very nice. Able to do a little walk today and get some things and probably get ahead and plan for later tonight as well. So, yeah, solid day all around.
Excellent. Well, a solid day all around for the Bruins, too, yesterday. And even without people, it didn't matter who wasn't there. Who was there came through, and the Bruins get win number 63. They just keep finding ways to surprise us and thrill us yet again.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And I think what's been really impressive is that they found ways to rest guys, to entrust guys that, you know, maybe are towards the bottom of the depth chart. Throughout this run, really, the second half of the season, I think, especially in the last month, I would say, is that they are finding ways to rest guys and to lean on their depth pieces to win big games and big moments. And yesterday in Philadelphia, not exactly a huge moment in terms of opponent, but what was at stake, what was on the line, the single-season wins record, to do it with, you know, about five players, from the minors, I think is really big for them. And I think it speaks to the overall depth of the organization and where they're at right now. So I thought that was a great thing to get it done, you know, with those kind of players and lean on some third liners, some fourth liners, some second and third pairing defensive players as well. So all in all, it's kind of what they've done all year, right? Is dominate in different ways. And sure enough, here we are, 63 wins, 2 games to go.
The last time you were on, I was thinking about this yesterday. You said, you know, Pasta's got a shot at 60 goals, but, you know, he'll need some hat tricks along the way. Clearly, he was listening to you.
I know, right? That was great. That was great that he was able to do that. And he's really found another level here. You know, I would say these last 2 weeks, I want to say he's up to 10 goals now in his last 7 or 8 games, maybe even more than that. Really just finding his stroke here right before the playoffs is what you want, right? You need your scorers to feel good about their game heading into a first-round series. And they could play some stinky teams, you know, in the first round, whether it's New York or even, I would say, you know, Pittsburgh's had some games where they've kept the opponent at bay. But Pastrnak is a different breed. I mean, he is, I think, the second-best goal scorer in this league behind Connor McDavid. You can make the case for Austin Matthews, but the Bruins have a special player here with David Pastrnak, and he's really found a way to turn it on, you know, to get to number 60, but also to get his team to that 63 win mark.
Another big game for Jeremy Swayman yesterday as well, as he had 34 saves, picked up the victory, and a really special moment. We played some of the audio of it a few minutes ago, post-game with him talking about his mentor, the late Red Gendron, and the former Maine Black Bear hockey coach.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny that, you know, I think a lot of people in Boston didn't understand the impact that Red had on Jeremy Swayman. And you think about it, right, that Swayman went from Anchorage, Alaska to Maine, you know, to play hockey. That's how important Red was for him, you know, just his belief in him and what he instilled in him, you know, as a young goaltender. And I think that's really impressive. It's really great to, you know, Philly was the home of Jeremy Swayman's first NHL appearance, and to do what they did yesterday, you know, with some help from him, I think especially early on, that was a very loose game early on in terms of shots and chances going each way. To do that had to feel extra special for Swayman, and honestly, for anyone who's connected to Red and the Maine Black Bears family, for that matter.
We're talking with Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub here on Downtown. Tell me about everything that went into getting Taylor Hall back.
Yeah, so really sort of a complicated maze of LTIR maneuvering. They were able to put both Foligno and Fulbert on LTIR, freeing up their cap space, or their contracts rather, and creating cap space necessary to activate Taylor Hall. Now, this isn't so much LTIR trickery as it is, this is legitimate. Both Fulbert and Foligno were not expected back before the end of the regular season. I personally have my doubts that Foligno plays in the first round of the playoffs. He's still got a ways to go in his recovery from his injury. Fulbert has started skating but not practicing with the team, so that's something worth watching as well. But basically what they did is a two-for-one swap. They put those guys in LTIR. They take Taylor Hall off it. They send Oscar Steen down to the minors to create some more cap space. And then basically what they've done since then is they've recalled guys from Providence on an emergency basis, which basically allows them to play in that day, you know, that day's game without wreaking havoc on their salary cap. So Evan Gold, he's the assistant GM of the Bruins. He's also the GM of Providence Bruins. He has had his work cut out for him all year long with this team in terms of managing the cap. He is their capologist. And let me tell you, I know assistant GM can't win GM of the year, but this guy deserves it. He has put in work and then some to make sure this team has stayed above the salary cap line all season long.
So as we get ready for the postseason, Ty, does anything change? Will we see a similar rotation? Do the lines remain intact, or will Jim Montgomery make any playoff changes?
Yeah, you know, I think what you've seen for the most part is what it'll be. I think there's still one line we need to see that we haven't seen yet, and that's Tyler Bertuzzi with Charlie Coyle and Taylor Hall. David Krejci's absence has kind of elevated Bertuzzi up, and Hall has been in the third line. In his first game back, he was with Coyle and Frederick. You know, that Bertuzzi-Coyle-Hall combination is going to be their third line. So you'd like to get a look at that, I think, in one of these final two games. I imagine tomorrow night in Boston against Washington. So, you know, that's something that you want to keep your eye on. I think that right now with Foligno and Fulbert out, that has allowed, you know, guys like Grizzlick and Clifton to be stable in their position in terms of their playoff status come game one. We're about a week away from game one. I imagine it's going to be Monday night at TD Garden. And then really it's about your fourth line. You know, like, who steps out if Foligno is ready to go? Let's say he beats expectations and is ready to go. You know, who steps out? You have a tough call there between Trent Frederick, Garnett Hathaway, or Tomáš Nosek. And I believe that Foligno is not going to be ready. But if he is, you're going to probably take one of those wingers out. And I would imagine it's Trent Frederick just because he doesn't play any special teams, whereas a lot of those other guys do. So a lot of battles that we don't have an answer to just yet, but I feel like what you saw for the most part on Thursday and Saturday is what you're going to see come game one.
And has anything changed in your impression of who might pose the biggest obstacle in the East for the Bruins?
Yeah, you know, I think watching Carolina without Andrei Svechnikov has been really interesting. I think they're missing a certain pop that you kind of need in the postseason to be successful, especially up front when ice gets harder to navigate, especially inside ice and high danger looks, things of that nature. And keep in mind, they lost Nino Niederreiter, you know, in the offseason. That's another guy who has excelled at getting to those high danger areas. So, you know, I've been impressed with New York. I've been impressed with the New York Rangers, that is. The Islanders are playing well, too, but the Rangers especially. They can score. They can play a physical game. They got a great goaltender in Igor Shesterkin. So that's a team that I look at and say they could be a lot of trouble. In New Jersey, if you let them play with speed, they can burn you. And I thought what you saw the Bruins do on Saturday night, kind of mugging it up, took them out of their element. So there's a lot of teams that kind of have to prove that they can win playoff-style games. But I think that Metro is going to be an absolute bloodbath between the Rangers, Devils, and the Hurricanes, for that matter. So, but of those three, I think the Rangers are really impressing me right now.
So it's early still in the process here. We need to get through maybe a series or two. But do the Bruins have to win the Stanley Cup for this incredibly magical season to be everything that it's been so far?
You know, I was pretty against this from the beginning. I said, no, it's a great season, enjoy it. But they've been so good, and they've been so dominant that you look at their closest comps, it's 70s Bruins, it's 70s Flyers, it's 70s Canadiens, and those teams all won Stanley Cup, right? So I think they have to, and it's not a product of anything they've done wrong, but rather everything they've done right. And so they have just been head and shoulders above the competition this year. And so I think anything less than a championship is a massive disappointment at this point. And, you know, the front office has done their part. They've given them weapons and additional assets at every position. And it's on the players. So now the players have to go out and win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, it's unfortunate that if they don't, it's a massive failure. But, I mean, when you've won 63 games out of 80 so far, you kind of put yourself in that situation, I think.
Ty, before we let you go, we wish you luck as well coming up, because in moments, we're posting the ballot for the first ever class of the Downtown Hall of Fame, and it's the preliminary ballot in the Boston bracket, and you were on there along with a host of other Boston media talents.
Oh man, who do I have to hit in the head to get ahead of them?
Well,
competition, I suppose.
People can vote for up to five. Let's see, who are you up against here? Bob Ryan, Chad Finn, Gary Tangway, Pete Abraham, Steve Buckley, Sean McAdam, Bob Soucy, Andy Gresh, Michael Hurley, Mike Giardi, Jen McCaffrey. That's just some of the folks.
Wow. Wow. Well, listen, if you're asking me who I'm voting for, it is Bob Soucy, first ballot Hall of Famer. Awesome at his job. Awesome person when he's off the mic as well. So I'm voting for Bob, even against my own... against my own enshrinement. I got to go Bob Soucy personally. That'd be a great pick.
Well, we love everybody on the list, and we wish everybody could go in, but and we'll see what happens in the balloting. But we wish you luck, and as always, great talking Bruins with you. Enjoy these last couple regular season games, and we'll catch you in the playoffs soon.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, sorry about the phone disconnection there. I'm not sure what happened. That might be my end. I got to go.
It's all better now. It's not how it starts. It's how it ends.
That's right. That's right. Have a great day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ty. Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub, talking Bruins with us here on Downtown.